This is the Frank Fontana Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. We're here till 3 o'clock. And, you know, earlier on I mentioned something about my dog, Mickey. I used to have a dog named Stewie. But my dog, Mickey, who's a four-month-old mini poodle, little blessed little boy that he is, can't stop peeing throughout my house and pooping everywhere. And lots of you folks called in with great advice, you know, and I really appreciate that. We'll go through some of this. But we have a professional in the studio, Dr. Ashley Rossman from Glen Oak Dog and Cat Hospital in Glenview. Doc, how are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
I'm great. I had called you in on an emergency because my dog won't stop peeing and pooping on my house. And legitimately, I mean, I could probably be a little better about, you know, a routine, but I was split between pee pads and outdoor because we got them like right before the winter and it got super cold and we were like, oh my God, are we really going to get up at like 5 a.m. and walk the dog when it's like 0 degrees out?
Yeah.
So we tried the pee pad.
Yeah, did that, and that didn't work.
Didn't go well. And then, well, because, you know, everyone told me poodles are so smart. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, they're, you know, they'll just pick up on it after a couple of days.
Yeah.
That's not the case. And so then, you know, we bring him out, but then now he thinks outside's playtime. So we're trying to flip-flop that a little bit. But here's the thing that's slightly concerning. He'll pee, and then, like, 20, 30, 40 minutes later, maybe, like, we'll see a little spot of pee somewhere. And then it's like, man, really? But, you know, and we all have theories in the house. My wife says it's the anxiety that the kids give them because we have a 3- and a 6-year-old, and they're constantly, like, picking them up, playing with them. We're trying to limit that as much as possible, but a 3-year-old, you know, doesn't really listen great. What's your take?
So he's 4 months old. Is that correct?
Yeah, he's about four. Yeah,
okay,
4 months old.
So first of all of this is quite normal.
It is.
They can have accidents up to, like, the first year, year and a half, although a year and a half is a long time. So you got to be very patient. Patience is key. Routines are key. Trying to, you know, after he eats, take him out 30 minutes later. He's probably going to have to defecate. Positive reinforcement. Is he food motivated?
Yes. What dog isn't?
Oh, right. There are some that
really?
Are not. Yeah, believe it
yeah,
or
he's
not.
Definitely food motivated.
So he should be not that hard to train. Every time he goes to the bathroom outside, it doesn't now, you know, just bring him a small treat. It can even be like his kibble that he normally eats, but you want to positively reinforce every single time and make a huge deal about it.
We do. Yeah.
Then when he's not doing well, you want to, you know, talk to him in a really stern voice and tell him that, you know, this is a bad dog. This is not
so good. I mentioned what another veterinarian had mentioned to do. Everyone's got a different opinion.
Yeah.
And I said that, you know, the vet said to take him over to it. I kind of push his head gently down to the pee so he smells it and then say no and then bring him to a place where he's disciplined. Is that correct?
Let him smell it. Let him, you know, and then take him outside to a place where he want him to go to the bathroom.
Well, the pee pads were like right outside his kennel.
Okay.
And I have a gated area. So it's like, imagine like a little trapped area where there's a gate. And then inside that gate is the kennel and like maybe about 3 feet where he can roam around on a pee pad.
Yeah.
And so we tried that, and that, you know, he'd go there and just, like, yelp to get out.
Yeah, well, and when he's in the kennel, it's really important to, you know, like, when you're not home, he should be in the kennel.
He is.
And you want to make it so that the space is not big enough, because they don't want to lay in their own urine or feces.
Yes.
So you want to make it so the space is small enough so he can't go to the bathroom in the crate.
He definitely doesn't do that.
And then once you take him out, like the second you take him out of the crate, take him to the bathroom.
Yep.
Right away.
Yep.
So, you know, sometimes it's hard for them when you're taking them outside and to the pee pads. And you have to be willing to have pee pads in your house for the rest of his life.
No, I don't.
Then you should stop that completely.
Stop it completely.
Yeah. If you're okay, I mean, some people are okay with that. I have a 2-year-old at home. That wouldn't work in our house.
Yeah.
So, but if, you know, so if you're not okay with that, you know, no more pee pads outside, right? You know, and it's a lot of work and it's just constantly going outside and letting them, you know, over and over and over again. And eventually they do get it. They do.
So
get
the
it.
Days of cleaning up pee and poop are not over yet.
Oh no. You have many more months left.
Yay. For my house that smells like a vet's office. Yeah, but anyway, we love them, and we'll put up with it.
Yeah.
So, Doc,
it's a good thing puppies are so cute because they are a lot of work.
I say that to him all the time.
People do not realize.
I say it right to his face. I'm like, Mickey, you are lucky you are so cute.
Mm-hmm. But eventually he will be the dog that you want him to be. It just you just have to have patience. He's just a baby.
And we don't have to worry, like I'm really nervous about my kids picking him up like constantly and putting him down.
It's okay. Long as they're gentle with him. You know, you don't want him pulling his the hair, stuff like that. As long as they're gentle, that's you want them. You want him to be used to them handling him and stuff. So I would just being sure to, you know, play nicely, you know, let's be gentle, Nikki, etc. So.
Oh, God. You should come to my house. It's so much fun.
I understand. I have a 2-year-old and one on the
way. You know. It's
so
like, oh, God bless.
I know it. God bless. I know all about it.
When do you do?
March 2nd.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
Do you know what it is yet?
It's a girl.
You have two girls now?
Nope. I have a boy at home.
Boy and a girl.
A very active boy. So I really understand the whole pets and... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a 6 and a 3-year-old. 6-year-old boy and a 3-year-old girl.
Okay.
Lots of fun. You have a lot to look forward to. So let's talk about the weather here, because it's going to be brutally cold next week. It's going to get down to 10 degrees. What should we be preparing for, especially, you know, with our young dogs or any dogs at this point?
Yeah, so when it's brutally cold, you don't want them outside for extended... Common sense should always be the rule. You don't want them outside for extended periods of time. You want to make sure that, like, the salt, especially if, like, you're... in a house or, you know, in that, like, you know, obviously in the city of Chicago, you don't have a huge opportunity, but you want to have salt that's pet friendly, because a lot of times it's not the cold that's bothering their paws, but it's the salt. It actually, like, burns them, and they'll start, like, lifting their feet up. So, like, they have there's lots of different brands of paw covers. They have, like, Mutt Lux.
So you're a fan of those, because some people are, like, fanatic about dressing up their dogs and all that.
So short-haired dogs, they tend to need a coat. You know, your Husky or your German Shepherd or your Golden Retriever does not need a coat. They're designed
even
for
if
that.
It looks cute. Because that's the main reason why people buy that.
Some of them will tolerate it. It just depends on your dog. And you want to make sure, you know, you don't want to put them in wool that can be kind of itchy for them.
Yeah.
So if they like it, by all means, go for it.
We got Mickey a North Face vest.
It looks pretty cool.
Cute.
Yeah, very cute.
I got a picture up on my Instagram. If you guys want to see Mickey in his vest, he looks pretty badass.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So, just but you know, if the dog is showing you signs and they're like chewing at it, trying to get it off, don't make them wear it unless they are going outside and they do have a short. You know, if you have a dachshund or something like that, you know, they probably do need or greyhound. Greyhounds get cold; they need a coat.
What about Christmas dress up? Are you a fan of like dogs being dressed and taking pictures of?
As long as the pet doesn't mind. Each pet is so different in what they'll tolerate and what they won't tolerate, just like us humans. If they like, some dogs just love the attention and they can't wait and they love to be dressed up and they're so excited. Others are like, please, what are you doing to me, Mom? Like, stop. So you just have to kind of base it on your pet.
Sure. So, folks, we want to see if you're dressing up your pet. You got some holiday photos of you and your pet or your pet alone. 312-91-7200. Text them on over. We will post them on our WGN Facebook page. 312-981-7200 is the number. We're talking to Dr. Ashley Rossman of the Glen Oak Dog and Cat Hospital in Glenview. When we come back, we're going to talk about different types of holistic medicine that's out there for dogs. Because a lot of people, like, I give my dog grain-free food.
That's great. That's
is it good?
Yeah.
Because I eat that way. Like, I just figured why shouldn't he be as healthy?
That's really exciting that you know that. So yeah, I'm excited to talk about it.
Well, we'll talk about it as soon as we come back.
All of us. Online. WGNRadio.com.
For more than 80 years, the Cyanis family has been running some of the greatest, most famous taverns in Chicago. They've done this with class and with a curse here and there, and of course, with beer. Now you can have that liquid refreshment in your home. Brewed exclusively by Bader Brow on the South Side and distributed by Glunz, Billy Goat Beer is now available at all Jewel Osco stores and Billy Goat Taverns in the Chicago area. The beer choice is yours, IPA or Pilsner. Just grab a six-pack and enjoy.
The best kept secret for luxury and performance, Jaguar. The best kept secret to obtain an approved certified pre-owned Jaguar, Howard Orloff Jaguar. Did you know Howard Orloff Jaguar has been proudly serving Chicagoland for over 55 years? And did you know at Howard Orloff you can get 1.9% APR financing on select 2014 and 2015 approved certified pre-owned Jaguar models? And did you know right now you can drive a 2016 approved certified pre-owned Jaguar XF for only $42.99 $995 and Did you know approved certified pre-owned Jaguar models include a 6-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, a 165-point inspection, and 24/7 roadside assistance? Isn't it time you know Howard Orloff Jaguar? Visit Howard Orloff Jaguar just off the Kennedy at Armitage or online at howardorloffjaguar.com. Stock number J00973A plus tax title license dot fee. Financing with approved credit. Coverage begins on the vehicle's original date of retail sale or in-use date. See Howard Orloff Jaguar for details. Offer expires 1/2/18.
Baby, it's cold outside. Maybe fun to sing around the holidays. But baby, it's cold inside is something you never want to have to hear when it comes to your home. So turn to the experts the Chicagoland area has trusted for over 65 years at ABC Plumbing, Sewer, Heating, Cooling, and Electric for fast, reliable service. Book your appointment today at 4abc.com and consider it done.
Hey, the holiday season brings temptation to overeat, and you find yourself feeling full, stuffed, and bloated after all the rich delicacies and heavy foods that'll come with holiday parties. So order yourself some Natron's Healthy Trinity right now. Be ready for the holidays. Healthy Trinity is the best probiotic out there. Probiotics are the beneficial bacteria needed in our gut to provide us a healthy, well-balanced digestive tract. Keep your inner ecosystem in balance with Healthy Trinity. Natron is the pioneer that started this whole booming probiotic category, and they have decades of proven results. So pick up the Natron Holiday Survival Kit, risk-free. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund. Mention WGN for a free second-day delivery, too. Call a trusted Natron probiotic consultant Monday morning. That's tomorrow when the call center opens. 866, the number 4-NATRON, 866-4-NATREN, or visit them online at natron.com. Enter promo code WGN for all those awesome discounts.
The Frank Fontana Show. It's not just home improvement. It's life improvement.
Of course you would, Dave. Welcome back to the show, folks. I'm Frank Fontana. We're talking to Dr. Ashley Rossman from the Glen Oak and Dog and Cat Hospital in Glenview. Thanks for coming in, Doc. Appreciate it. Thanks for the advice on getting my little Mickey. That sounded weird. Getting my little Mickey squared up with his pee problem.
Hopefully it helps.
It will. I think it will.
Time will do it. Time and patience.
I think I'm going to take your advice and just altogether get rid of the pee pads and just suck it up.
If you're not willing to have them for the rest of his life, you don't want to train him on them now.
I know. I just don't want to wake up at 5 and go in freezing.
Well, eventually he'll be able to hold it overnight.
So that's one other question before we get into our topic of how we should feed and what kind of pills we should give our dogs. So right now I have that area I described to you. So mm-hmm. I have the metal kennel with a mm-hmm. nice blanket in there. And then he has a little space about 2 feet around him that I keep the gate open so that he has this little area. So, and I keep the pee pad there. So in the middle of the night, he's not barking to wake me up to let him out because he's still so young. And then he goes, does his business in that little pad, then goes back to sleep and doesn't wake me up till like 5 in the morning. It's awesome. So I got a system going right now for
then
the nighttime.
He's going to do it forever if you do it now. Like, this is his training time. He's going to, when he's 10 years old, he's still going to do that. So if you're willing to have that, then it's okay. But if you're not, you got to just do away with it, and you're going to have to, you know,
get up
take
at 2
turns
o'clock
with
in the morning.
Wife and, yeah.
No, my wife takes, my wife, so like we'll split the kid. Occasionally my son will get up or my daughter will get up. So that's kind of, we've agreed like I'll take care of the dog at night. You take care of the kids at night. And
okay. Well.
So, all right.
It's all on you.
Thanks, Doc.
Sorry.
Just blew my nights. Back to sleepless nights because of Mickey.
Eventually they're, you know, his digestive system is going to get bigger and he's going to be able to hold it easily, you know,
so
my, 8 to 10 hours.
Am I ruining the nighttime routine right now? It's like, is he getting used to waking up at 3 and peeing and going back to bed? So if I start this with the cage closed all night, you think it's going to get worse?
You know, each dog is different. It may or may not, but I would start doing it and getting up with him if he has to go, because he needs to know when I have to pee, I have to go outside. When I have to poop, I need to go outside. He needs to have that reinforced over and over.
And that helps having the door closed and he has to hold it.
Yeah, because they don't want to go in their crate.
Yeah, good stuff.
Some and folks, do, but not normally.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So we're going to answer your questions, too. We get some texts coming in, 312-981-7200. If you have any questions about your pet and anything going on with your pet, Dr. Ashley's here. And before we do that, what type of foods? Because I mentioned I give my dog grain-free food, and you were, like, excited about that. Mm-hmm. Is there really a difference? Because I think when it comes to animals, people are always like, give them table scraps. Yeah, give them whatever. Like, they're just dogs, or they're just cats, or...
So dogs and cats are fundamentally different. Dogs are scavengers, so they're going to survive on whatever we give them. Cats are actually obligate carnivores, so grains for them are even worse. I'd say that as they get older, the grains can become inflammatory mediators. So both dogs and cats are going to do well on a grain-free or very low-grain diet that's more meat-based.
Yeah. So, God, that makes me think, like, why aren't all humans not eating grain-free? You know,
this well, humans are omnivores, so they're a little different category, but...
Yeah, well, my dog eats grass, though. I know that's another problem. It's a whole. We can have a whole psych session with Mickey. He's got issues. He's eating his own.
He's just being a puppy.
He eats his own poo. He eats his poo sometimes. Is there a problem with that too?
Yeah, you don't want. You need to stop him from doing that.
I'm trying. He likes it. It's like an appetizer.
Yeah. So you can talk to your vet. We have products that we can give them that help to make the food taste sour. You add it to their food. It makes their poop taste sour.
Yeah.
But you have to. It's behavioral, so you have to be on him every single time you do that. No, Mickey, no, don't eat that.
Oh, of course. But see, we take him out in the yard, and where we live, there's wild rabbits.
Yeah.
Like, lots of wild rabbits.
Yeah,
and there's wild rabbit poo, and he thinks it's like little treat nuggets that are laying in the grass.
Yeah. Unfortunately, like, the stuff that the veterinarian has isn't going to help with the rabbit poo, but you're just going to have to clean it up as best you can. And, you know, leash walking him so you're more in control of what he's doing is going to be helpful.
Yeah. I'm taking all your advice. I'm changing it today. Medicines. Mm-hmm. When it comes to giving your dog medicine,
yes.
How do you feel about traditional medicine versus holistic medicine for
pets? I love them both. I consider myself integrative. You want to get the best of both worlds. There are some situations where I go more with traditional and some situations where I go more holistic. That's why I think trying to use both of them, you know, your dog has an infection. You want to give it antibiotics.
Right.
So,
what about for, like, I know this is a big thing now, like dog anxiety.
Yeah. So I like to try to start off with some different, like, homeopathic substances and Chinese herbal remedies first. And if those don't work, then I move on to the more traditional medications.
Good stuff. Let's answer some questions here from our listeners. I have a 52-pound dog. This is from the 630. I have a 52-pound dog. She's a rescue. Not sure what she is. She looks like she has a little coonhound dinner, it says. How much should I feed her per meal? 52 pounds coon hound.
So it's going to depend on what you're feeding, you know, what type of food you're feeding them and how often you're feeding. I always recommend feeding twice a day, although some dogs do well on once a day because that's what they would, that's more, has a tendency to mimic more what happens outside. So the food that you choose is going to be dependent on how much they eat. If your dog is overweight, I would certainly reduce the amount by a quarter. A lot of times they'll show you on the back of the bag how much food they think that your animal should be eating. And a lot of times that's a high estimate because obviously the more food that your animal eats, the more money the dog food company makes.
Makes sense.
So you probably don't need to feed quite as much as the listed amount on the packaging.
We give Mickey three small, like, half cups a day.
So in a puppy, three meals a day is really good. Okay. Their metabolisms are working so fast. He's a small breed dog.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But, you know, and he probably should always be on at least once he's a year old, I would still have him on two meals a day.
Two meals.
Yeah.
Okay. More text coming in. If you have questions, folks, we have a few more minutes with Dr. Ashley. From the 708, my dog completely stopped eating dog food, dry, canned, expensive, and cheap. She got to a point where she'd throw it up right after eating it, then she wouldn't eat at all. I now make her food. I pressure cook chicken with various veggies and fruits, all okay for dogs. Add brown rice, flax, and baby cereal for vitamins, and coconut or avocado oil for fat. The vet said this is not a good idea. I can't give the dog all nutrients she needs. She has bad breath. So here's some symptoms here. She has bad breath, smelly feet. Oh, wait. But her bad breath and smelly feet are gone. She has much more energy and is more social. If dog food is so good, then why don't people eat it? LOL. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, dog food is a convenience factor that Americans, I think we started it after World War One or World War Two. It's a convenience factor. So you certainly can home cook. Home cooking is great. Most people don't have time to home cook. I couldn't personally home cook, even if I wanted. There's just not enough time in my day. There's a website. It's called balanceit.com. You can go there and put in what you're, you know, your dog breed and what you're feeding. There are also board-certified veterinary nutritionists that your veterinarian can contact if they don't have any nearby you, and they'll formulate a plan specifically for your dog, and you can home cook completely, and they tend to do very well. Real food is great. Just, you know, if it's not healthy for you, it's not healthy for the dog. So you don't want to be feeding it French fries. Also, like the grains, you know, you don't want to give it a bagel, stuff like that. But if you want to give it some roast beef or some turkey or a little bit of dairy cheese, you know, something like that, that's great. That's okay. That's a broad statement. There are certain conditions and animals that, you know, one size does not fit all. So
good advice.
Yep.
Dr. Ashley Rossman, thank you so much for the personal advice you gave me and the listeners out there. One quick comment from one of our texters. Why do all dogs' feet smell like Fritos?
Huh. I don't think they smell like Fritos. I think they have a wide variety of different smells. Right. A lot of times they can get like yeast or bacterial infections that can cause it. It's probably the Frito smell is probably a yeast thing.
Oh, good.
If they're really smelling it, they should bring it, have their local veterinarian take a peek at it.
Did you hear that, 847? Your dog might have some yeast on their feet. Yay. Merry Christmas.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening? In the lane.
Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show here on WGN Radio 720. Thanks for listening and hanging out with us. We're here till 3 o'clock. We've talked about parties. We've talked about poop and puppies. Now it's time to bring it home with a little bit of wine. Every party needs a good bottle of wine. But how do you know how to pair it with the right food, with the right ambiance? You know, there's a specific wine for a specific occasion. And a guy who knows a lot about it is Adam Sager from Wine Cellars. He's vice president and the son of owner Yale Sager. Adam, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, man. So how long have you been doing this?
22 years, approximately.
Yeah,
started in the family business right after college.
You guys only sell wine, or you guys sell liquor?
We sell, for the most part, wine.
Yeah.
Sparkling wine, table wine, still wine. Yeah.
You've tasted pretty much every wine out there.
A little
bit
of cider as well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Are you a fan of cider?
Yeah, I like cider.
I never got into the cider.
These are higher-end boutique ciders.
Yeah. Like, what's an average bottle cost?
Anywhere from $8 to $12 for a 750.
That ain't so bad.
Yeah, 750 ml.
And what's the high end of that?
That'd be a French cider, like a French farmhouse cider.
What are we looking at a bottle for something like that?
12 to 15.
So that's still not bad.
It's relatively inexpensive.
Because, you know, bottles of wine can be ridiculously
really expensive. Yeah, yeah.
Did you develop a passion for wine because you had to, or because it's a personal thing for you?
You know, it's a great business. It's a great industry. It's agriculture. It's business. There's something romantic about it.
Certainly.
There's production. There's foreign currency that we have to work with. So it's a really dynamic industry. I probably couldn't imagine myself working in a family business if it wasn't this. But I don't know much else, so.
Yeah. Let's talk about the idea of just first of working in a family business, because you hear horror stories and then you hear great stories. There's successes and failures in both. What's been the most challenging for you working in a family business?
I think you just have to really check your ego at the door. You know, you got to make sure you work as a team. That's what the expectation is in like a large corporation or, you know, in the corporate world.
Yeah.
Sometimes in family businesses, there's a lack of professionalism. So you really have to try to get along. And if you can get along, then it's really rewarding.
How many family members and are they like brothers, sisters, cousins?
Yeah, I got a younger brother. His name is Jordan. He works in the business.
Okay.
And then my father.
Three of you. And then
there's mom. She's involved.
She's the real boss.
My brother and his wives are involved, but they don't work at the company.
Right.
But when you're working in a family business, everyone's involved.
And I mean, you guys have been around a long time. Have you grown the business substantially?
Yeah, it's grown substantially over the years.
Yeah.
And more so in the last 6 years, we've had double-digit growth, you know, 4 out of the last 6 years. So it's growing well.
What tactics have you used to grow your business?
Really trying to keep the portfolio fresh, jumping onto trends early, making sure we're selling wines that consumers want to drink. That's the most important thing.
How do you know what consumers want to drink? How do you get that data?
There is data out there.
I know.
You can look at you know, Nielsen, IRI data, scan data, like grocery stores, for example. But I think, you know, when experiencing traveling and learning about wine and tasting wine, and you develop a palate over the years, and you
a little R&D.
It's a little research and development, and you know, I think we've developed that as a company to have a pretty good sense of what we think people want to drink.
Now, you brought a couple bottles here.
Yes.
Is this a good breadth of selection?
Yeah,
here, what's
yeah.
trending?
I put together a selection of 6 wines. I thought I have 1 sparkling, 1 rosé, 1 crisp white, 1 fruitier white. 1 lighter-bodied red wine and 1 mm-hmm. full-bodied red wine.
Mm-hmm.
I think with that mix, you can pretty much
cover the whole party spectrum.
Please, anybody coming over to your house, yeah. Well,
can I taste a fruity one here?
Sure.
I like
slightly fruity white.
Fruity white.
Fruity
yeah.
white.
So why, do you have a fruity red, too?
We have a fruity light red as well. Yeah.
Ooh, I'll try one of both. Why not?
Okay, so.
And so when I, you know, like everybody throws their parties different. Everybody, like, you know, if you're an Italian Christmas, because I'm Italian, I'll just go there. You know, it's a lot of heavy foods, pastas. You know, we make arancinis and rice balls and you know, like heavier foods. Is it better to pair it with a lighter wine then?
It can be, yeah.
If you have, smells great.
It can be. If you're having something really rich and high fat, you could do a really crisp white with that.
Mm.
Or you can do a full-bodied red wine.
What is this I'm drinking now?
So that's a Riesling from Germany. It comes from the Rhine-Hessen region, which is one of the main growing regions. So it's fruity, it's light, and it has just a little bit of sweetness. I would call that a drier style of Riesling, but it still has some residual sugar. And people who like fruity wines sometimes don't realize it, but they actually like sweet wines. So
that's good. I think I've cut to the chase on that. I like a sweet wine. I don't like a heavy sweet wine,
mm-hmm.
although I am a fan of some ports.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like port?
I like port. Yeah. I like port a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, my wife's a big fan of it, too. We're trying to find the right port for her because it can't be too syrupy. It's got to be that perfect balance in between.
You should try a tawny port.
We do typically a 10-year tawny.
You can do a 10-year tawny, you can do a 20-year tawny, or just a blended tawny. Those tend to be nuttier.
I like the nuttier.
Not as sweet and syrupy.
Mm-hmm.
And the more they're aged, the less syrupy and sweet they're going to be.
So let me try that the red in the same sweet palate. And like when sugar content, like you hear people talk about the sugar content in wine. Mm-hmm. Is it that bad?
It depends on the wine.
Is the rule of thumb the cheaper, the more sugar, or how does that work?
You could go with that. It tends to be that, the sort of cheap low-end wine tends to have a lot of sugar added to it.
Yeah.
And the sugar masks the flaws in the wine.
Right. Because you can't go wrong with extra sugar in anything.
Exactly. So this one doesn't have the level of sugar that you had in the Riesling, but it's an unoaked Cabernet from Argentina.
Smells fantastic. What's the brand?
The producer is Santa Julia. This comes from Mendoza, Argentina. I brought two wines from Argentina, one Cabernet, one Malbec.
That's great.
And that's certified organic as well. So it's made from organically grown grapes.
Yeah.
And unoaked, so it's lighter. And all you're really getting is the fruitiness of the Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yeah, that's a great... I prefer red. If I'm going to drink wine, I'm typically a tequila guy, but I do like red. And this is fantastic. I got to get this label from you before you leave. What did a bottle like this go for?
A bottle like that goes for between $10 and $12, depending on where it's sold. Everything I brought today is between $8 and $20.
So. Adam, you came in with the right price point here. Like, mm-hmm. I've had guests on the show, and they're bringing their, $100 bottles of wine. And this is where most people live, is in that, right?
This is where most people live, and it's where our company operates. I mean, 90% of what we sell is between $10 and $20 retail. We have higher-end wines and, very boutique, small production wines. But for the most part, what we're selling what consumers are buying on an everyday basis.
Yeah.
Our restaurants are wanting a good value to pour by the glass.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Being in the wine business and growing a family business, have you ever heard of a guy named Gary Vaynerchuk?
Yeah.
Have you followed his story?
I've watched his videos and motivational videos. Yeah.
Being in the same business, have you employed any of the tactics that Gary suggests?
I can't say that we have. No, I can't say that we have.
Do you think that it'd help you in this business?
It might. I mean, we're improving our social media marketing, and we're doing a lot of that. That's a different generation.
Yes.
I don't even know how to use Instagram.
Really?
We have a marketing team, a couple of millennials, and they're doing a great job. Using Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and it's I think in the wine business it's developing. It's growing.
Sure.
To use social media marketing.
Definitely. Gary took his business from a $6 million a year business, I believe, to like a $22 million a year business over the course of, I think it was $4 million a year, to a course of like 6 years, and he blew it up and, using all social media.
We've been filming some short videos, video clips, whether it's about a part of our portfolio or something specific that's trending, and we've been posting them on our website. And
cool. I'm going to follow. What is the website, by the way?
It's winecellarsltd.com, and that's wine cellars with an S.
And do you guys have storefronts as well as?
We don't have a storefront, no.
So this is all online?
No, our business, we import, and then we sell to distributors around the country. So we represent foreign producers and some domestic producers on an exclusive basis.
Nice.
And we sell to distributors in all 50 states, and then we handle all the sales, marketing, public relations.
So do you go to the vineyards yourself and visit?
I do, yeah.
Dude, that's your story right there, man. There's your content right there. Mm-hmm. You know what you should do? I'll come with you, right? I'll film for you. I'll set up the Instagram account. We'll do all the content. We'll hang out. We'll drink some wine. It'll be fun.
Sure. Welcome to join us anytime.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good. All right. I know you got to go to where are you heading?
A piano recital.
A piano recital.
My kids have a piano recital, my son and daughter. Listen, 3 o'clock.
You better get there before, just down the road.
Yeah.
All right. Adam Sager from Wine Cellars. He's the vice president, son of owner Yale Sager. Thanks for joining us, man, and bringing such a delightful spread of wine. We really appreciate it. Have a good holiday. Enjoy the piano recital.
Thank you.
It just sounds like drink some wine before you go. It'll help.